Zaffer presents The Familiars, written by Stacey Halls and read by Katie Sobey. Part 1. The County of Lancaster, now Lancashire, early April, 1612. Be ever well in blood, for otherwise she will not long be at your commandment, but make you follow her. The Book of Falconry or Hawking, George Turbeville, 1543-1597. Prudence and Justice, Shuttleworth Family Motto. Chapter 1. I left the house with the letter, because I did not know what else to do. The lawn was wet with late morning dew that soaked my favourite rose silk slippers, for in my haste I hadn't thought to put on pattens. But I did not stop until I reached the trees overlooking the lawns in front of the house. The letter I had clutched in my fist, and I opened it once more to check I hadn't imagined it, that I hadn't drifted off in my chair and dreamt it up. It was a chill morning, misty and cool with the wind racing down from Pendle Hill, and though my mind was in turmoil, I'd remembered to take my cloak from its place at the end of the wardrobe. I'd given Puck a perfunctory stroke and was pleased to see my hands weren't shaking. I did not cry, or faint, or do anything at all except fold what I had read back into its old shape and go quietly down the stairs. Nobody noticed me, and the only servant I saw was a brief glimpse of James sitting at his desk as I passed by his study. The idea that he might have read the letter himself crossed my mind, as a steward often opens his master's private correspondence, but I dismissed the thought quickly and left through the front door. The clouds were the colour of pewter jugs that threatened to spill over, so I hurried across the grass towards the woods. I knew that in my black cloak I'd be conspicuous among the fields from servants' prying eyes at the windows, and I needed to think. In this part of Lancashire, the land is green and damp, and the sky wide and grey. Occasionally you can see the flash of a deer's red coat, or a pheasant's blue neck, and your eye is drawn swifter than they can disappear. Before I reached the shelter of the trees, I knew the sickness was coming again. I pulled the hem of my skirt away from where it splattered the grass, then used my kerchief to wipe my mouth. Richard had the laundry women sprinkle them with rose water. I closed my eyes and took several deep breaths, and when I opened them, I felt slightly better. The trees shivered, and birds sang merrily as I went deeper, and in less than a minute, I had lost Gawthorpe altogether. The house was as conspicuous as I was in these parts, made of warm golden stone and set in a clearing. But while the house couldn't keep you from the woods that seemed to draw ever closer and were visible from every window, the woods could keep Gawthorpe from you. Sometimes it felt as though they were playing a game. I took out the letter and opened it again, smoothing out the creases that had formed in my tight little fist, and found the paragraph that had left me reeling. You can divine without difficulty the true nature of the danger that your wife has been in, and it is with solemn regret that I impart on you my professional opinion as a physic and expert in matters of childbed, that upon visiting her last Friday se'nnight, I drew the deeply unfortunate conclusion that she cannot and should not bear children. It is with excessive importance that you understand if she finds herself once more in childbed, she will not survive it, and her earthly life will come to an end. Now I was out of sight of the house, I could react with some privacy. My heart was beating furiously, and my cheeks were hot. Another surge of sickness overcame me, and I almost choked on it as it burned against my tongue. The sickness came morning, noon, and night, wringing me inside out. At the most, it was 40 times a day. If it was twice, I felt lucky. Veins burst in my face, leaving delicate crimson stems around my eyes, the whites of which turned a demonic red. The awful taste in my throat would last for hours, sharp and choking as the blade of a knife. I couldn't keep food down. I had no appetite for it anyway, much to the cook's disappointment. Even my beloved March pain lay in broad, unsliced tablets in the larder, and my boxes of sugar candy sent from London gathered dust. The other three times, I hadn't been this ill. This time, it felt like the child growing inside me was trying to escape through my throat instead of between my legs like the others.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?